News Talk 104.5 FM and AM 920 KVL. Good evening. I'm Steve Evans with the Meet the Candidate program. Now, the Meet the Candidate series is brought to you as a public service of CNS Hydraulics in Vernal, Runners Incorporated in Roosevelt, and Evans Family Media. The Utah Republican State Convention is Saturday, and this evening's guest is 3rd Congressional District candidate Tyler Mercet. Now, Tyler Mercet is running as a convention-only candidate, and we've invited him to join us here this evening rather than the normal time of Tuesday so that we can hear from him prior to the convention. Now, Tyler Mercet was born and raised in Utah and is running against incumbent candidates Celeste Malloy, Phil Lyman on the Republican ticket, Steve Merrill and Kent Udell on the Democratic ticket, Michael Stoddard representing the Libertarian Party, and Cassie Easley is the Constitution Party candidate. Tyler Mercet, welcome to the Uinta Basin. Would you mind just taking a minute to introduce yourself to the citizens here in northeastern Utah? Tell us about your family and maybe what some of your pastimes are.
Yeah. Thank you for having me, Steve. It's been this kind of election process has been educational, and I've really gotten to enjoy visiting all the parts of Utah that I haven't visited as much. And one of those is Uinta County. I haven't been there very often, but I did drive up for the GOP convention last week, and just a very, very beautiful drive, and the people were amazing. I'm born and raised in Utah. I was born in Provo, and then my dad served his LDS mission in southern Utah, in Hurricane part of it. And so he fell in love with it there. And so we moved there when I was 4. And so I'm born and raised in Utah and grew up in southern Utah largely. I met my wife through college, through church, actually. And we have 3 wonderful kids. And one of them is graduating right now. From high school, the other, both. So my daughter and my son will be attending BYU here in the fall. I have a background in business. I've owned businesses and real estate before. Currently, I serve as the warehouse manager for our local school district. So I'm in charge of all the comings and goings of the logistics. And in our district, we receive truckloads of paper and pencils and food, and we distribute it out to the schools at their request. And so if you ask me about my hobbies and what my interests are, I'm interested in looking at processes that aren't working very well. And so in our school district, I made a number of improvements on, utilization of storage space and just making it so everything runs smoothly, that, the processes are working such that it's not a hassle to deal with the warehouse. And so I try to apply some of those types of things to the political realm also. Like what is working? What is not working? What can we do to kind of fix the process? And so those are kind of the background of me and how, which we'll probably touch on in a minute, kind of my idea for getting the citizens involved a little bit more in the political process.
Tyler Mercet, this is one of the largest, it is the largest district in the state of Utah, congressional district. I have kids in St. George. It takes me 7 hours to drive down and 7 hours to drive back to spend time with my grandkids. What assurances do we have that Congressman Tyler Mercet will not neglect this portion of the state?
Well, this is actually one of the premises of my campaign. I created an app which allows registered voters who are citizens to vote on bills which come up in Congress, and I'm pledging to vote with the majority of those in our district. I'm trying to connect with the actual voters in not just Washington County where I live, but also Uinta County and every county in between. I did that drive. It was a significant drive, but it was well worth it. I'm going to show objectively that I will listen to the people in Uinta County. And I think that this will go a long way to actually restore some of the trust that is lacking and between our representatives and the people. I talked to quite a few people and I often ask groups, how many politicians do you trust? And The most common answer is actually zero. It's kind of a funny question, but we continue to elect the same people expecting a different result. And so to answer the question, I'm going to show objectively that I will represent the people. As part of the app, there'll be a portal that will connect the state delegates and the county delegates to me. You know, I think that they can come together also and you know, come up with ideas for bills, because I have to admit, I'm not the most knowledgeable about Uinta, the Uinta County and the needs and
Uinta and Duchesne counties.
Yeah, I don't know that. Right. I don't know yet. Okay. And so I'm going to need that portal for the people to come together to make their voices be heard. And I'm trying to make that as easy as possible so that I can get a better understanding of what needs to happen in the area.
Okay. Tyler Merced, on your website, one of the things on your platform is that you support school choice vouchers. Could you explain why that is?
School choice, it comes down to decision making. When we're forced into, you know, for whatever reason, you know, you can only attend this school or that school or whatever the case may be, we don't have the elements of competition in the schools, in the schooling. And so when there's no kind of outward force upon individual schools or school districts to innovate and improve test scores and do things like that, then that pressure is not there. And so when we have the choice to go elsewhere, I think that empowers us. And this is a big part of my platform just in general, is when we exercise our decisions in a way where we have skin in the game, the outcomes tend to be better and the people tend to be happier with their government. So I believe that, now I work for a school district, so I'm not knocking school districts in general. I'm talking about the principle of being able to decide where you take your child to.
Okay, I understand.
Now that could also be homeschool. I think that there are many instances. My mom homeschooled my sister for a time because she wasn't learning as much as she could in her math class for her teacher, because of her teacher, whatever reason. So she got her back up to speed. And I think that the children, you know, the money should follow the child and go with wherever they decide to go.
From your perspective, Tyler Merced, what are the biggest problems facing the Uinta Basin over the next 2 to 5 years?
Well, there's the energy is a big part of your economy, and I think that there's a lot of pressure from environmentalist groups who are trying to shut out fossil fuels, natural gas, coal, you know, those types of things. And if they were to have their way, I think that would affect not just Uinta County and the area, but the United States as a whole. I don't think carbon dioxide is a pollutant. I think there are ways that we can use these to make them clean. There's a huge, you know, the economy is based largely on those things, and we need to make sure that it's not by decree that these things happen, that the economy is wrecked just by some politicians coming in and saying we're not doing this anymore. I think that should be, you know, there are pressures on that economy already from technology. You know, you have solar power, which is coming on, you have electric vehicles, you have all these things, all these different technology pressures that are putting pressure on the economy. And I just want to make sure that it's, you know, if those things do happen, it's not by decree, if that makes sense. I think that the just by and large, technology is going to be a disruptive force, and we just have to be prepared to handle it when that comes. Part of the deal is it's not just, you know, technologies in the energy sector, but it's also AI. Also, I use AI quite a bit. I used it in part to create the app that I was talking about. It's going to affect a lot of jobs. So when people lose their jobs, the problem now is everything is so expensive. And this is the angle that I like to talk about this. We're going to have some tremendous disruption in the next 5 to 10 years because of technology. If we don't do things to reduce the cost of our housing, of our education, of our healthcare and all those things, then we're going to be in a real bind. And that's where I think that I would put my energy, not just listening to the people, because that's important. I gotta do that. But I also have to lead with solutions. How are we going to reduce the cost of housing? How are we going to reduce the cost of healthcare and education? And I think that largely comes down to reducing some of the regulations that get in the way of the free market from happening. I think with education, specifically, I'm talking about higher education in the college systems. There's really no, you can go in for any degree, you can go in for any reason, and they will just give you a loan, and that loan is guaranteed by the federal government. And then you can't, let's say something happens, you can't discharge that in bankruptcy. So there's no incentive for the banks to actually decide, are we going to get our money back from this loan? So what this incentivizes is a huge explosion of costs in the educational system. And this same idea applies to not only healthcare, but housing and all of these sectors of our economy where the prices just seem to be going up and up. There's always something that gets in the way between the end user and the producer of the good. And when that happens, whether it's via regulation, via subsidy, or other means, that's where the prices are high. And so I would work to identify those areas of our economy that that get in the way, so that because we're not going to stop technology. Technology is coming regardless. And so we just have to make it so that the landing is a little bit softer on the other side.
You mentioned affordable housing. We already have a problem here in the Uinta Basin with growth, but it's going to increase with the advent of the Uinta Railway, and there are two new proposed data centers. So just through the construction phase of those two projects, we're going to have it's going to even deepen our problem with affordable housing. Younger people can't afford to buy a home right now. They're living with parents in their basements and a camp trailer by off the side. What are your feelings on affordable housing, and what could you do as our congressional representative to help us address those problems?
Well, there are a few different layers of this. Part of the problem, and it's not the main driver of the problem, but we have a large population who aren't supposed to be here. They're illegal residents, and so they are taking a lot of the affordable housing. And in many cases, they're incentivized by the government. They're given, not necessarily the Utah government, but there are ways that that population is incentivized to be here. And so there's that pressure on housing from that angle. There are other angles which may be more county specific, which I'm not that familiar with your with the ins and outs of your county, but you know, there could be some ways to unlock some of the land to let people build. I'm not sure of that. But the bigger portion, the big long-term thing that I was kind of mentioning before is when people go to get a mortgage, the banks are not incentivized. There are some underwriting rules that they have, but the federal government forces them to give loans where they wouldn't otherwise. And so this causes a problem. Another thing that happens is the banks, they will write these loans and then sell them. And so they don't have a long-term incentive to make sure, you know, like a community bank would back in the day. I don't know if you have a lot of community banks still, but a community bank would make those loans on the houses, and they would know the people, and they would go, yes, this is a solid choice, and we're going to hold this loan until it's done. So that largely has stopped. And so the incentive is gone for the banks. They just crank these things out, which increases the demand for homes, which wouldn't be there otherwise. And so there are different layers to this. I don't have a panacea or a silver bullet that's going to cure it all or make it go away. But I think that we do have to reduce the pressure on the housing that's coming from illegal immigration. We do have to look at the regulations that are incentivizing banks to make bad loans. And I think that that will go a long way to actually freeing up quite a bit of the housing supply.
Tyler Merced, from your perspective, what should our county and state leaders do maybe more to address this problem?
Well, there was a bill recently in the legislature, the Utah legislature, that was going to make it so Utah wouldn't give welfare to illegal immigrants. Now, that may sound harsh, but that was lobbied against by powerful interests in the state, and that was shot down. I think that was the wrong move. When people who are not here legally receive benefits that should be for people who are here legally, that creates a lot of resentment and hostility. And I don't want to have hostility towards immigrants, because there are people who are here legally, and you know, that those people went through the process and I believe did it the right way. But we should not incentivize illegal immigration, and I think that those are some of the things we could do. I know that, you know, we're trying to make some efforts on the national level, at least with the SAVE Act, which requires voter ID. I know that people say, well, you know, that's not a problem. There aren't illegals voting. But I think that we need to do the things we can do so it removes any uncertainty toward the processes of our government. And I think that's what I would suggest that the local and state governments do.
Do you support the SAVE Act, Save America Act, which would require proof of citizenship and stricter mail-in ballot rules?
Yes, I absolutely support that. As part of my app, actually, I'm showing that we can have voter ID and sorry, I just got a call. I had to decline it. So I do support the voter ID. Only citizens should vote. I think the Supreme Court is going to decide here relatively soon. Do we have election day or do we have election weeks? Right. And that's a problem because, I don't know that I can, on our state side, in the Utah state site, because we have mail-in ballots, they can tell me that our ballot has been received, but I don't know that it's been counted correctly, and I can't verify the voter rolls. And I think those two things are a big issue that create uncertainty with our elections. There shouldn't be any sort of question about our elections. We should be able to verify our vote. It should be on a ledger that we can identify, anonymous but identifiable by the user. And I think that we should be able to verify our voter rolls. And just these two things, being able to verify our voter rolls and be able to track our votes, I think you'll have a lot less, a lot less angst and uncertainty about these elections, and I think that would help us definitely in the long run.
Tyler Merced, with a few minutes we have remaining, a final question: drought and water resource management are hot topics in our local elections here. What experience do you have with water management matters, what assurances can you give us that you can support better management of our water resources?
Well, I think most of you, I've never held elected office, so I don't have experience in managing water besides in my own yard. I know that we should conserve. I think that what I would, we talked about the technology is a double-edged sword, and it's going to affect a lot of people. But I think one of the big deals with technology is it allows us to do more with less. And I think that through technology, now I'm talking in the really long run, with nuclear, with solar, with things like that, we will be able to create big infrastructure projects that, for instance, with desalination, not necessarily with the Great Salt Lake, but with the ocean that we could do in California that would reduce the pressure on them, because they're using some of the Colorado River water, and if we could reduce their demand from the river that we're using, that would go a long way to help alleviate the issue. Again, also we have a lot of people who are here who should not be here, and that also puts pressure on it. And so I don't, like I say, I've never held elected office. I don't work with any sort of, you know, water infrastructure, but I would definitely listen to the people in Uinta County and all along the way, all along that Colorado River. What is most important? How are we going to make these things go further? Because it's a limited resource, and we have more and more demand on it, and we gotta figure out ways to make that go further.
Okay. Finally, Finally, what message would you like to leave with the citizens of the Uinta Basin, both in Duchesne County, Uinta County, and up north in Daggett County?
The premise of my campaign is true representation of the people. I believe that there's a disconnect between the government, our representatives, and the people. When that gap widens between the government and the people, that's when you start to have disillusionment, disenfranchisement, anger, division, those types of things. That's what I'm trying to avoid with this, is by giving the people a true voice. Just as part of the app that I created, we're pulling in all of the bills from the federal and state level. And we have an authentication process that we allow registered voters who are citizens to vote on these bills. And I'm using that, I would use that as a guide to tell me how the people in the Uinta Basin would want me to vote, and including the rest of our district. So I'm going to show objectively that we can actually represent the people. I think there's another layer of this too, which is we've been kind of boxed out of our own government. I think the people, we've been trained to just want to elect people that are going to fix all our problems. And I don't think that is the best way to do it. I think that we can still elect people, the best people that we can, but I think that we should guide them. I think that the First Amendment doesn't just apply to lobbyists or individuals who can petition the government, but I think it also applies to groups of individuals who we should have a place at the table. The lobbyists are in the ear of our representatives every single day, and I think that they should be hearing from us more than the lobbyists. So I'm trying to show that we can participate in our own government, and when we do, we too will typically have better outcomes.
Okay. Tyler Mercet, thank you. Your candidate for Utah's 3rd Congressional District. Thank you for joining us here on the Meet the Candidate series. Now, the Meet the Candidate series is provided as a public service of CNS Hydraulics in Vernal, Runners Incorporated in Roosevelt, and Evans Family Media. I'm Steve Evans. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Meet the Candidate.